welcome to the Conversations with Authors podcast with me, Alison Thompson, aka the Proof Fairy. In each episode of this podcast, I meet a published author and talk to them about what inspired them to start writing and what tips they would give other aspiring authors. My guest on the show today is Dr. Rebecca Louisa Smith. Rebecca began her career in academia teaching film studies, but since 2009 she's worked in the film industry where she has positioned herself as the film festival doctor. Her first book, Born to Do It, came out in October 2020, and in it she shares her own experiences and some interesting techniques to help people start and grow their own businesses. Apologies for the occasional background noise. I hope you enjoy our conversation. Hello, Rebecca. It's really lovely to meet you today.
You too. And thank you for having me on your podcast.
Now, you're very welcome. So tell me a bit about your book.
So my book, Born to Do It, is a business meets spirituality hybrid book. So it talks about how to tap in to your soul purpose, which is the thing that you're born to do, what you're put on this earth to do. And then it talks about how to set up your first business, integrating the key business techniques and spiritual practices.
Oh, that's an interesting hybrid, an interesting combination.
It is.
Not come across that before. So what inspired you to write it?
So this is actually quite weird how this all happened with writing the book. So I did this very long depth interview for an Indian book called Unique back when the first lockdown happened in like April 2020 in the UK when I was living in the UK. Right now I live in Mexico, I live abroad. And Ellen Watts, who is the publisher of my book, she has a company called Butterfly House Publishing. And she read it and she said, ever thought about writing your own story? Like in a book, there's a lot of good stuff here that you're drawing upon and you're touching upon. You ever thought about it? And I said, no. Well, there's a book in everybody. So let me tell you how to structure a book and what you think about it. So when I met with her, I was quite nervous because I haven't written anything since my PhD back in like 2011. And I was a bit like, I don't know if I got the energy, but I thought, well, I've got a little bit more time in the evenings now. So I'd be at festivals and doing my thing and always out, but they had all gone online, so I could be flexible. So I thought, I've got time to do this. She told me how to like think about structuring what to say. And then as we were talking, the idea came in my head like, I don't want to write a dry how-to book. I want to write a more personal anecdote and a personal journey of how I found my soul purpose and how I then went from doing something that I thought I should be doing, something that she should be doing and what I was put on this earth to do. And it came out in terms of integrating those concepts and what I do with my business routine and my business infrastructure. So all like flowed quite quickly. It didn't take long to write it. And now, to be honest, it's thanks to the pandemic. I've had any time to write it if I was doing my normal routine and life was like it used to be. But as there was that massive change, I had more time in the evening. So instead of watching junk or seeing festivals that I'd already seen stuff on, I just thought, I'm going to write now. I'm going to dedicate myself 2 hours each day to writing it. And it worked really well. We planned it to like launch maybe this year, but it just worked out to launch it last year. We planned it really precisely. I think that's how it helped to write it quickly because everything was pre-planned. It wasn't like just a blank page and start writing. It was very well thought out, which was very good planning.
Yeah, it's funny. Some people talk about how they just have the idea and then they just write it. For me, yeah, I think having a plan means that you don't have that problem of the blank page because you know what you're going to write.
I mean, she was talking about that you might just get ideas come in, so just write them down on paper, then they'll find their own way in a chapter and the structure of the book. I was like, oh, that's a good point. So I had all these like ideas in my head quite a lot, so I just wrote them all down this like little mind map. And then it's like this bit there. And I thought, well, that one will go in that chapter and this chapter and that chapter. And it just flowed really well. And obviously I haven't written a PhD. That's like a full on, like, you know, writing kind of exercise there. And it's quite intense and full on. So you learn then to be really ruthless with what you want to include, what you don't want to include. And that was really helpful having that experience from like a massive project management. And also my day job is doing like big projects and breaking down bite-sized chunks. So all those skills I had helped. And certainly helped me structure it quickly as opposed to taking years.
Right. Yeah. So how long did it take to write, sort of start to finish?
So this all came about. So I I sat down and it was in June last year, and by August it was, everything was written, and then it was just the proofreading with you. So it took like under 2 months.
Wow. Gosh. And you said you wrote it in lockdown, but actually
it was when the restrictions started to lift, and it was a bit different. I still couldn't travel to the US because there was a travel ban, and that's still in operation as we're speaking now, to the US and everything. I'm making my move to the US as well, so everything was on hold, and I couldn't go to festivals in Europe because of them having to be really restricted, or like locals only. So I kind of got more time, and I didn't want to go into London doing meetings. I could do them all on Zoom, because I found out through the pandemic that I don't have to be in London for a meeting. I can do that on Zoom. So, you know, in person. I learned a lot through the pandemic, and it gave me more time to do this book, which I was very committed to. I think it was May when we started to talk, and then I was like, right, let's do it. And then I was able to do some stuff in, like, go out in some places locally. Really go into London. I kind of just stopped with going to London. I don't like London anyway, but I thought I don't have to be here all the time unless it's an event. Nothing's happening in events right now because it's still, well, it's, they can't have big events at the moment, which festivals are. So, you know, so I can't do that right now. So I thought, well, I'd put my time into writing.
Yeah, but two months is brilliant. I mean, that's just, yeah. Some people take years to write a book, so to have got it written in two months, is really, really impressive. So how did you go about getting it published?
So that was all thanks to Ellen Watts. So I met her, she's actually in my book, but I met her many years before this, because obviously what else she also does is she's a coach for Cosmic Ordering. And that's how I came about her. And I had several sessions with her before. And that's when she approached me about the book later on that time. She said, I've got my publishing company. I've got about one or two books already done, so it's new. But, you know, it will be proper books. So it'll have an IBAN number. It'll be, you know, proofread, edited by yourself. It'll be professionally done. It won't be doing it yourself. People can tell if you've not had a proofreader. I was like, well, that's true. And you were great at it. We'll go to that later. But I mean, I just learned so much from that. And she said that it'll be official, you know, it'll be listed in Nielsen's and have official, you know, like Waterstones can buy it if they want to, Amazon, all that kind of thing. So I was like, well, I want it done properly. I'm going to put this effort into it. So I don't want to do it, publish it myself on my website and an Amazon ebook. I'd rather it be professional, high end. And those that read it, it'll be more chance of getting press that I want for the personal brand. And she did all that for me. So she helped me sort out the cover with you, and she sorted out that I mentioned the listings, everything, all that back end stuff she did. And that was quite quick, even though it was like a lot of fiddly things. And now that's all been done. So it's under her company, and it was published at the end of 2020, at the end of October.
Yeah. And you found that, well, I guess I was going to say you found that quite an easy process. You handed it over to Ellen and to me, and we worked the magic on it for you, I guess.
You did. I mean, Ellen was more working the magic with getting it on the admin side. I don't know if Ellen's read the book yet. I don't think she has, but she did all the back end, which was great. And that's because I didn't know what that was. And obviously she has a brand, so that's good that it's part of a publishing company and it has that logo on there. So that's amazing. But you with the editing was great, because when you showed me the tighten up sentences, it was brilliant. And that was just, it made the word count really good. And also it just made it punchy. Every sentence was punchy. And it worked really well. So I was very impressed with that. And it helped me just think, oh, yeah, wow, I don't have got to say that again. It's already been said. And it was like, wow, this is amazing. So that was brilliant. And that felt like I've got a really good book now, because it was just, you know, you were objective to it and just be like, zoom, and like, let's cut out the sentence here, there, clarify that. There wasn't like major corrections. It was just the title of the sentences. Mm. And again, anything like that. So I was very pleased with the beta reader feedback. It was very strong, just based upon the unedited version. And it's good that everything else was just explaining bits here and there just to clarify things and tighten up sentences, which was great. It was quite relaxing doing that. And I had to click in the accept button, accept, and then get the font right and getting the presentation right. Because like I say, I had very high hopes for it in terms of getting press, which has been confirmed. Some press will be coming out in some big publications just this week. Got a new publicist, which is brilliant. So now it has the product that people want to see, and it's written in a way that entices the high-end level of press.
No, I'm so grateful that you that you're pleased with the editing, because it's it can feel quite brutal sometimes. I think when you're writing a book, there's a kind of desire that it has to be as much as you can possibly write. And I've done this myself with my own books, and you find that you end up putting stories in twice or repeating things because it's like,
yeah,
word count is everything. I've got to get as many words in as I can. And actually, a book is as long as it needs to be. And I think, yeah, you can lose stories. You don't have to tell the same story three times.
Because you don't
need to be putting stuff in just for the word count. It's actually much more effective to be that little bit shorter, but to be tighter, to be snappier. Yeah. And I always worry about people when they open the file and they see all that red all over it, because I've had that experience myself. And it's like, oh gosh, no, this is my work of art. What have they done to it? But yeah,
exactly.
Relief. It's a relief that you appreciated.
Exactly. So no, I totally agree with you. It is interesting because when you see it, you're like, oh, but then when you see it, you're like, ah, I learn from it, because I'm more like, well, like, this is because you're helping me here. It's helping me because you're trying to help here. It's not about your ego. So that's why it's very useful. And I was like, ah, yeah, yeah, yeah. But it just shows how important it is. I say this to my clients all the time because I work in the film industry. I always say, right, the first thing before doing anything, before you do any festival submissions, before we go into festivals and start trying to get deals, be objective and get someone else to give you feedback on the film, because you're so immersed in it. You know, this is your work of art, your pride work of art for 10 years. You want to step back and see the bigger picture. Someone else can give you that input. Someone like me, someone like a colleague who's not, you know, your mother, father or best friend, has to be objective. Yeah. And not take it personally is really crucial, because if you take it personally, you're not going to get anywhere. You're not going to go anywhere forwards.
Yeah, I'm glad you said, yeah, not your mother or father. I think the worst person to give a book or film or anything you want actual proper feedback on is to give it to your best friend or your mum, because they're going to say, oh, it's wonderful, it's lovely. And that's not the feedback you want. You actually want them to say, well, it's good, but this could be improved. It's not worth having if they just say it's wonderful. So
no, I mean, like, we do see films that are coming are great. You know, we say, well, there's very little wrong with this. Things really change. It's really strong and you can go far with it. But then sometimes they're like, well, there could be room here to do this or the other, or whatever it is, what it is, then we just work with what we've got.
Yeah. So you said that the editing process, you'd learnt a lot through the editing process. What else did you learn about yourself through writing the book?
That I've actually got good stories to tell, and I'm actually a good writer. Because I never thought, after my PhD, I made this vow I would never write again. Because I did all that. It was a long, long, exhausting journey and a very difficult supervisor to work with. So it made the process not particularly relaxing. And I did like the PhD, but my mind was on setting up my first business and like getting out of the academia world into London from Wales. So it was very much like, I wasn't rushing it, but just I was like, I've got to get this burden off my shoulders. I said, I'm not going to ever write again. I'm not interested in script writing, not interested in writing a film, I'm interested in writing a book. You know, I'll do articles here and there and a blog piece, but that'd be about it. I didn't even start to do that. But then I actually started to write my blog more after doing the writing writing my book. And now I've been writing articles for big publications about the book, and I really enjoy it. So this, like, it was a limiting belief. I was like, I don't want to write again, I can't write again, actually, I really miss it. But I started to write in the book and I thought, I really do like this and I like being a writer. I don't be writing screenplays. That's not my job. I work in distribution in films. So I get films out there. I don't do that side. Mm-hmm. But I like the fact that I know now kind of like how to write good stories. And that's a really good side now. And I'm thinking another book as well, which will be a novel. So that's in my mind too, which is based on personal experience, but more like a really like interesting novel in terms of an escapist novel to write. But that's in my pipeline. People have said about that, but we'll see. But I'm liking this book now. It's getting the attention it deserves slowly but surely now.
What's happened as a result of you getting your book out there? You've said that you've got some articles coming about it and stuff. It sounds like things are really starting to take off.
Yeah, well, it's done take off with the press now, like proper press with the book. We've got two articles confirmed for Forbes, which is exciting, and have some good promo in there. Potentially some ones of that level too, which are in the pipeline. Maybe even Good Housekeeping. So be a bit more mainstream. And also, what the book is doing well is it's actually a good marketing tool for my business and my personal brand. So even those that might not buy it, they see it and be like, "Oh, let's find out more about what you do," and then look at the profile on my LinkedIn page and Instagram, and then take it from there. So it does actually work, believe it or not, even though the sales might not be, say, 5,000 or more, it's gonna change soon. But it's more like it works as a good PR. Like when I'm with the book, people see it and they're like, oh, this is interesting. And they tend to read the book after they work with me because they see it and then it's secure the client. So it's interesting how the journey, it's not a straightforward, like just buy the book as passive income. That does happen, but it does actually work as a really good tool to, you know, social proofing that you've written the book and it's out there and it's your approach to how you work with business and your clients. So it does really get good interest.
Yeah, I've talked to a few people who found that. One of them, I did an interview with Dr. Harry Singh, who's written 5 books so far, I think. And yeah, he uses them as business tools. He uses them as kind of expanded business cards, really. Show his credentials and to show people what he can do. And then that brings in the business. So it is something that can be really effective. Yeah.
Absolutely. No, I agree. It is. And it's more than I thought until I got it out there. And I do a lot of posts with it. And then, you know, me with the book and the face of the brand, which really gives people to that trust. And people buy people. So it gives you that personal touch and personal reassurance.
Yeah. Yeah. So where else has the book taken you so far, either personally or professionally? Or are you hoping it will take you?
So I'm now currently based in Mexico City. And I'm on my way to make my way to the States. There's a lot of issues with visas right now with coronavirus and all the nonsense from Trump and political issues, shall we say, not just about the virus, political issues from Trump and his ego. So all that nonsense to deal with. But I'm now in Mexico City and I'm quite liking getting the book out there here and having pictures here, but also sent it to a few people, bought it off Kindle, that those can speak English because this area isn't English speaking. Well, they don't teach you here, so it's all Spanish. People don't really speak English, but there are people that do. You know, not everybody doesn't speak it. There are some. I met some friends here, and they brought it on Kindle. I thought, wow, it's really changed their life, and they're getting it out there slowly around Mexico. So I didn't expect that. And my goals when we start this book were UK and USA. But it's doing that, but now it's got Mexico. So it's nice to see where the Royal Amazon comes through. It's like amazon.com.mx. Say, so, which is nice to see them. This can like read English, can do that. I thought about maybe translating it to Spanish, but then I thought, well, the demand's not hugely high and that's quite expensive. So if there is a massive demand, I would do that. But right now the ones who are English speaking can read it well. So that's not an issue and it's clear. So,
yeah. No, that's funny. I've written a book about raising a child with ADHD and it's totally focused on parenting in the UK. All the resources are UK based. And I do get sales in America as well, which has always surprised me. What surprised me even more, my book got picked up by a publisher and they sold the rights to it to a publishing company in for it to be published in Czech, which just surprised me because my book is so UK focused. I don't understand that, but that was exciting, you know? That's, yeah.
That's incredible. So,
it's always weird when strange things
happen. It is. It was like, wow, but you wouldn't expect that, but it's obviously a sign that needs to be there. It's seeking an audience there, so it's good to keep that going.
Yeah, yeah. What tips would you give anyone listening who is thinking they'd like to write a book?
One thing I would say is, as a tip, is there's a book. Don't think there isn't a book in you. There's a book in all of us. It's getting it out. So really think about what story do you want to tell? What is your narrative? And how do you want to express that? That's the key thing. So that's what I did with myself and Ellen is, you know, said, you know, so you've got a good story here, but what do you want to tell? What is the key message you want to put across? And one of the things that I thought about was, you know, realizing that my wake up call to what I should be doing is working in the film industry and not in academia. So that was the kind of the backbone to the story. So know what your key message is and then build upon that.
Okay. Yeah. So work out the key message. Yeah. But incorporate your own story into it as well, I guess. You want that personal touch.
That personal touch is really crucial. Ever since for the past couple of months, Instagram socials has all been about your story and it's storytelling that sells. And that personal story is very crucial nowadays in every industry. And though I'm in film, it applies to every single industry. It applies to marketing, it applies to construction, whatever. Because the story is the crucial thing. When it's you at the center of the universe, that's what really matters.
Yeah, yeah. No, that's really good advice. That, yeah, everybody has a story in them. Everyone has a book in them. Go about doing it the right way, though, because there's an awful lot of books that like you said, the whole thing of you don't want it to look self-published.
That really shows. It really does. And I just realized that with you. I was like, wow, I mean, it does look completely different in terms of just tying up and getting more of a punch and more interest to continue reading when you have an editor do it, as opposed to yourself, it just can be like too self-indulgent. And also there's one book I read that was obviously didn't have a proofreader or editor, but it kept saying after every sentence, and the next thing I'll do is this, and the next thing I'll do is that, the next page, but it wasn't doing it. It's like, this is getting quite frustrating. It's just like going around in a circle, and it's obvious, and also the spelling mistakes are obvious when you read it, but then objectively you would see that, but not when you're involved in it, immersed in it. So it was very difficult.
Yeah, you know what you've written, or you know what you think you've written. So yeah, what you think you've written, not what's actually on the page.
Exactly.
Very common. So what's next for you? Obviously you're in Mexico City at the minute, which must be quite exciting to be.
No, it's great here. I really like it here a lot. Well, my aim is to make my move to the States, but I love being here in the meantime until I can get there. The next plan will be is we're very busy with my business, so we're taking on some great films to represent. And the next step is really now the book will be going to the level in terms of the press. So that'll be happening actually this month and end of May, middle to end of May onwards. So all the stuff we've got lined up will be coming out. So there'll be a whole change with the book. You'll have a second wave, not coronavirus, second wave of like book goodness. I hate that, but when I hear that, just think of like the press. But yeah, will be happening.
Oh dear, it's a different world, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. It's a different world now. That's what we're used to. But yeah, so we're having that extra input. So I'm really excited, and I'm really pleased with them. I've been working with them. They're doing a great job, working really hard to get it out there. So that's really good.
And you said you've got a novel in your head. Any more books apart from that coming out? Any more business books?
Business books. There is a sequel in the Born to Do It somewhere. I can tell that stuff that I could expand upon, other techniques that I've learned since writing that, which I've been incorporating into my daily routine, which there is room for that in there. And also to have a sequel. So it'll be like, you know, still talking about how the sole purpose is important and to refresh that, but also how to implement other things that could really help you stay in alignment with it and how to make your business really robust. And that will be a lot of that will be social media, actually the changes in social media. And also other techniques that I've learned from another business coach about how to stay grounded in the business and how to do different techniques and approaches to what I was really originally used to. So there's other stuff in there. I think that'll be ready to write maybe end of the year or next year, but it's in there somewhere. But there's definitely a sequel somewhere, but I want to just get out the first book now to get it really out there more, the sequel when it's got demand.
Yeah. So maybe Born to Do It Again.
Yes!
Do it again. Where can you find out more about you and your business and your books on your book online?
So the best place would be my personal website, which is RebeccaLouisaSmith.com. Everything's on there, more about me, what I do, how to work with me, a little bit more info. My Instagram's on there too to follow. So it's all in one place, like a one-stop shop. And that's the best place to find out more and also connect.
Okay. I'll make sure I spell it out at the end because your name's not the most usual spelling of Rebecca, so I shall spell it out at the end just so people come to the right place. Rebecca, it's been an absolute pleasure to talk to you today. All the best with the book, Born to Do It, with those articles. I'm so impressed that you're going to be in Forbes. I'll look out for that, definitely.
Yes, I'm really excited. So I'll send it all to Elle and you when they come out. So there'll be like snippets in there and here, there and other stuff in the pipeline. But they're doing really well with the publicists. They've got the good angles of the book, so they find out how to really position it. Because it's a book that's not a straightforward, like, this is the angle. There's many angles you could do. And they thought, which one is the best? And the one they've used now is getting more traction. So that's good.
No, that's great. Yeah, all the best with it and for everything that comes.
Thank you.
Away.
Thank you.
Thank you to Rebecca for being my guest on the show today. Her book, Born to Do It, Becoming the Leader of a Business Niche Using Powerful Spiritual Techniques, is available on Amazon now, and you can also find out more about Rebecca on her website, RebeccaLouisaSmith.com, and Rebecca is spelt R-E-B-E-K-A-H. If you've always enjoyed writing and you've been inspired now to take that a step further and write a book, I can help you. Have a look at my website, www.theproofairy.com, and book a free exploratory call with me. You'll also find all the episodes of this podcast there, along with information on how you could be a guest on the show. If you've enjoyed this podcast, then please subscribe, share it, rate it, tell your friends about it, and leave a review. This has been a Proof Fairy production in collaboration with my dogs, who were actually surprisingly quiet this week. and I'll be back next week with another inspiring interview with another amazing author.